Now this morning, to lead us into our faith promises this morning, we have Mike and Mona Ray Shields with us. They have been with us before on various occasions, and we are blessed to be able to work together on projects in various places around the world. And so thank you for allowing us to be part of what God is doing, laying upon your heart. Let's give them a nice, warm Oak Creek welcome as they come this morning to share with us the living word of the Almighty God.
Thank you so much.
Bless you, bless you. So great to be back at Oak Creek. And I just want to personally thank you for the tremendous influence that you have had in my life and in my family's life. My parents pastored in a tiny little church in Cataract, Wisconsin, and accepted the mission's call. And they took me to Bolivia when I was 1 year old. I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was. But God has used Oak Creek to give them monthly support. They supported the Monroe and Betty Jane Graham's family all the years. Over 50 years, my parents were missionaries in Latin America. From that, Mike and I are missionaries. Rocky and Sherry Grahams are missionaries in Argentina. And Rocky's son, Ben Grahams, has just accepted to be the president of the River Plate Bible School. Three generations of Grahams that you have invested in. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Oak Creek. Thank you, Pastor Jerry, for believing in us. What you give to missions multiplies. You invested in a young green couple that went out to Bolivia who were there 16 years. And then my dad planted the ISUM, the Latin American Advanced School of Theology, and started training post-grad all over Latin America. And I don't know, where's Jenny Garcia? Jenny, ven rapidito. Jenny Garcia is from Oak Creek Assembly. And last year when the pandemic hit, we took a huge leap of faith and decided to go online. And this Colombian lady who lives in Wisconsin and attends Oak Creek took online classes last year with Barranquilla, and then in February with Bogota online, and has taken her last classes and just finished. And I'm believing that she's going to go to Bogota and graduate with us next February. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done. God bless you, Jenny. Keep going. And she's been teaching what I taught her in Leviticus and what Mike taught her in administration. She's been teaching it here in Spanish. So it keeps on giving. Thank you. Gracias, Jenny. Thank you. Thank you, Oak Creek, for your missions giving. I'm stealing Mike's minutes. I was just out at my table, and a gentleman came up with the Faith Promise card, and he said, "I don't know about this. Explain it to me." He says, "I only want to do a one-time gift." I said, "That's okay. You can mark $350, $500, $1,000. Just do it one time." He said, "I don't want to give every month." I said, "That's okay." I said, "Walk down this hall. If you've never walked down that hall, there's a whole pictures and pictures and pictures of missionaries." I said, "They give us support every month to keep us going. And then the projects, when you fill out this card, Pastor Jerry can say, okay, we have this much to work with this year." He had tears in his eyes, and he said, I just don't know about this. God will touch your heart and speak to you. Take a leap of faith, and you never know what he might do. You might be a Jenny. Your kids might be singing in this choir and say, "I'm going to be a missionary." That's what we're believing for. This is where it starts. Thank you, Oak Creek. Thank you, Pastor Jerry.
You heard it at Oak Creek AG, man. Was that awesome or what, huh? Wasn't that awesome? I recommend all the young men, you go find a righteous fox and marry her, man, I tell you. Today is Faith Promise Sunday. It's an exciting day. It's the day your faith will be stretched. You have a card. Pastor Jerry will be here at the close of my message to challenge you to believe God, to obey His voice. This isn't about prosperity and about paying it forward. This is about obedience, hearing the voice and acting on the voice. That's what this is about. It's about sacrifice and tears and giving up and living more simply so others can simply live. And so I thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and we appreciate it so much. I'd like you all to stand open to Psalm chapter 78. And let's read the word together. Everybody stand. Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I'll utter hidden things, things from old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. Raise your hands. Jesus, we want to praise you today for the things you've done. And thank you and receive all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Look at the person next to you and say, I give you permission to invite me to dinner right after this service. All right. All right. Thank you. They will disagree with your philosophy. Maybe they'll disagree with your theology. But one thing they can't disagree with is your personal testimony, what God has done in your life. That's something you know, and you know it well. We cannot hide these testimonies from the new generation. There's an entire generation of young people that have never seen a genuine outbreak of God. And we are believing that in Oak Creek Assembly, this congregation will usher in the greatest move of God that Milwaukee has seen in an entire generation. Come on, if you believe that, give God the glory today. All of you have a testimony. You know what God's done in your life. I'll tell you a little about mine. I worked as a youth pastor at Summit Church in beautiful St. Paul, Minnesota, 4.5 miles of Victorian mansions, and right in the middle, Summit Church, Assembly of God Church, 2 blocks from the governor's mansion. Then when I finished there as youth pastor, I became the director for youth and college ministries of the Minnesota District AG. I did that for 7 years, quit, went on to be an evangelist, and God kept speaking to me to go be a missionary. I was married to a gal from Bolivia, and He kept pushing me, I kept resisting. One day, my girls came to me after about 3 years, Dad, we've got to go as missionaries. We made a momentous decision to sell everything we had, give everything away, and go to Santiago, Chile. We sold everything. We had garage sales. Finally, people wouldn't buy our furniture. We couldn't get rid of it all. We put it out on the yard, and people drove by, and we put free, and they still had questions. Do you deliver? Do you deliver? My wife and I picked up a living room couch and walked it 5 houses down and delivered so we could get rid of our junk. The day that we got on the plane in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I wept all the way to Chicago and got the plane. I wept. I said, this is the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. God, we've given away all our junk. What are we doing? Got off the plane. Gary Grogan and his wife Bonnie from Urbana, Illinois met us, prayed with us. They'd driven a couple hours up just to pray with us, Pastor. Call my spirit. We got to Miami. We flew 18 and a half hours to get to Santiago, Chile. All we had were some boxes, and we had my guitar and a keyboard for my daughter. They went on in a car to go to a home that was going to let us store our boxes because we had nowhere to live. I stayed and went through the aduana or the customs area. And by a miracle, we got through, didn't have to pay for the guitar or for the keyboard, and they didn't confiscate anything. But by the time I got to this little house 45 minutes later where my wife was waiting, I walked into the backyard with this little beautiful garden, beautiful area, nice little home. Walked in there, and she was crying at the edge of this little guest room where they're going to store the boxes, and she was weeping. I started to cry too, and then she trembling looked up and she said, God is so good. I said, I'm not so sure. She said, this couple has lived here for 6 months as missionaries. They're from Joel Osteen's church as missionaries. And they want to go from Chile back to Argentina where they've been all these years. And all they ask is we just move in and just take over all their junk in their house. And we'll just live here. We've got the beds. We've got our tables. We've got everything. We've got a TV. We've got everything. They just want to leave. And you can stay here and they're going to go back to Argentina. Yep. In 5 minutes, God gave me my junk back. You love your junk? Give it away. God will give you more junk back. He's the God of junk. How many say hallelujah? Oh, yeah, and we started living in Santiago, Chile, and 3 months later, the guy living next door happened to be a senator in the Congress of the Chilean Congress, and he ran for president. His father had been president. We didn't know that, and 3 months later, he became the president of the Republic of Chile. I started living next door to the president of the Republic of that entire country. I only wanted one thing when I thought of a house, and that was security. All of a sudden, I have 51 machine gun-toting security guards 3 blocks around my house. We are very secure. My girls just wanted a place for Tiffy to be able to run around and play. Yes, that's right, Tiffy, our little dog. We took Tiffy twice to Chile. We took her down, took her back, took her down, took her back. I'm the only missionary you'll ever know that had a genuine chili dog. And as we worked in Chile, I started hearing the stories of what had shaken Chile and made it possible for us to be missionaries there. You see, in 1903, a young doctor in Oak Brook, Illinois, moved to Valparaiso, Chile, to do medical practice and to pastor a little Methodist church. He worked there about 6 years, and in January of 1909, at the beginning of that year, his people asked to have prayer meetings. They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. On Thursday night, they prayed all night. On Friday night, they prayed all night. And then suddenly there was an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on that Methodist church like they had never seen before. People started getting healed. People started getting delivered. Scores of people started rushing into the place. They didn't know what to do. They ran out and found a bigger building they could meet in. Hundreds of people met there. People were being slain in the spirit out in the streets around the building. And then they built a building in 1910 that could seat 1,200 people. And hundreds more came, and hundreds more came. And then the trouble started because the Methodist organization brought charges against him. And I happen to have a copy of the charges. You want to hear them? How many want to hear them? Well, I was going to read them anyway. Dr. Hoover, get this. Dr. Hoover, Michael, has disseminated literature that teaches false and anti-traditional doctrines, such as teaching the doctrines of raising of the hands, baptism with fire, miracles of healing by faith, visions, gifts of tongues, prophecies, falling under the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Dr. Hoover broke the rules. And when he broke the rules, the Holy Ghost poured out. I'd like everybody in this place to stand up. We're going to break the rules right now. Would you stand to your feet? I want you to raise your hands and let's break the rules for a minute. Come on, break the rules. Come on and start calling out to God. Jesus, touch my family. Heal my hurting bad body. Give me a vision of heaven. Oh, come on, call it out. Call out Jesus. Begin to move in Oak Creek Assembly. Do something unusual. Send an unusual outpouring. Come on, call out to God. Call out to God with all you've got. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're going to break the rules right now, Jesus. You're going to do what others could not predict in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand today. Oh, thank you, Lord. Sit down and buckle your seatbelt. Then there's Argentina. By the 1970s, Argentina had the lowest percentage of evangelicals in all of Latin America. It was a hard place. Its universities were filled with hardened atheists. They were anti-God, they were a proud society, and they were the most prosperous society in all of Latin America. But in 1981, a military junta overthrew the government. And the military leaders came in, and in 1982, they made a disastrous choice, a decision to invade the Malvinas Islands, the Falklands. And when they sent 5,000 mainly innocent high school boys to be warriors, Her Majesty the Queen was not pleased. But who was really unpleased was Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady. She sent 60 of Her Majesty the Queen's warships to the Falklands, two islands that have more sheep on them than people. She sunk the Argentine Navy, gave them a whooping, took back the islands, and Argentina's economy collapsed. Their money collapsed. The people went into a national state of depression. There was a time of great, great stress. And then that same year, to make it all worse, the worst thing that happened, Argentina lost the World Soccer Championship. The worst. And at that time, our largest Assemblies of God church that only had about 200 people in it, when everybody was there, I preached there one night and two people got saved. A group of 35 students began to pray in the basement. I've seen that basement. They put up a map. They divided it into sections. They began to pray, oh, thank God for student ministries. Thank God for this beautiful couple. What's your names again? Tom and what? And Nicole. They work with students in Stevens Point. Come on, give them a great big hand. Thank you for working with students. One of the students, after they prayed for a month, they prayed all night, the Holy Spirit started moving them. One of the students got an idea, said, hey, why don't we do an open-air campaign? They said, we don't do that in Argentina. Well, let's do one. They said, well, we don't have any money. Well, let's get somebody that can preach for no money. So they found this guy. He had six children. He had a little parts factory for Ford Motor Company, and he made insignias and the chrome things for the interior of the car, and that's what his factory made. And they hired Carlos. So they asked Carlos to come and preach their campaign. They went down to the casino area near the river, the La Plata River, and they started to speak in the open air. They built a little platform, got a speaker system, and the first night about 200 people showed up. But God moved that night, and some people got healed. The next night, 900 people showed up. The next night, 2,000 people showed up. Now, about that time, parenthetically, when I was the president of Youth and College Ministries in Minnesota, my brother-in-law needed a bus, a Speed the Light bus. Do you do Speed the Light here? Huh? You do Speed the Light? Good for you. So I asked for Speed the Light funds. I got approved for $24,000, and I had 12. So I walked up a guy named Tom Green, the president of the Oklahoma District Youth Program, and I said, Tom, I need $12,000. I'm broke. I don't have the money. You've got money. Can I have $12,000? I want to buy a bus for Argentina. He said, I'll give you $12,000. Give me $12,000 in a hallway. I bought the bus, gave it to Rocky. And a couple months later, what do you know? Carlos is preaching down at the gambling casino area. Rocky fills up that bus with 35 students every night, sends them down to La Plata to hand out literature every night, 2,000 came, 5,000 came, 10,000 came, 20,000 came, 30,000 came, 40,000 came. It sounded like an auctioneer, don't I? 50,000, 55,000, 60, 65,000. And people began to get saved. People began to get delivered from demons. He began to call out that wherever the devil was, that he would be revealed and they would be set free. He would stand on the platform, Carlos Anacondia, and he'd say, Satanás, te reprendo, escúchame, te reprendo en el nombre de Jesús. Doesn't that give you chills? Satan, listen to me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Where are you? He's here, he's here, he's here, he's there, he's there. And as he began to call it out, people would fall flat on the ground. Boom, 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 all around that crowd as the Holy Ghost began to move. And people that were oppressed, people that were demon-possessed, people that were sick, people that were not well, people that needed help began to fall over in the power of God. And amazing things began to happen when people pray. Revival breaks out. Come on, give God a hand. Give him a shout of victory. Ha ha! Wonderful stories came out of that. The police chief down there in La Plata sent a squad car and two guys down to check out what was going on down there. It's a few blocks away. They didn't come back. They didn't respond to the radio. So he sent another squad car down with two more guys, and they didn't come back either. Finally, the police captain had to walk down. He walked down several blocks to find out what had happened. When he got down there were thousands of people standing around. The squad cars were parked way off. He walked all the way down to the platform, and what do you know? He found his four officers laying under the power, speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. One man, his wife, kept going down every night. She was transformed. He saw the difference in her life. But he would not go. He would not go. He would not go. One night he felt so guilty. She went on ahead. He finally got the family dog, walked down. He was at the outside perimeter as thousands of people were listening to Carlos Anacondia. And Anacondia said, some of you are sick. Some of you need a miracle. You begin to respond to God right now. ¿Dónde están? ¿Dónde están? ¿Quién necesita sanidad? ¿Quién necesita ayuda? ¿Quién necesita un toque especial del Señor? How many of you need a touch tonight? Who's sick? Who needs a touch from God? And people began to fall. Boom, boom, boom. He put his arms up. Not me. Then his dog fell over. Boom. Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, your dog obeys more than you do. That man got saved that night. How many say praise the Lord? When the Holy Ghost moves, amazing things happen. Mike Kramer was with me in 1987. We went there on an AIM team. We went there to La Plata, Argentina in that bus. And while we were there, it was a Monday night, and I stepped outside to look at the platform from a little anteroom before I got on the platform with Tito Scataglini, the pastor. And I looked, and the place was jammed. The balcony was jammed. The bottom floor was jammed. They'd thrown away most of their furniture. It was jammed. I looked at Tito so moved because I was going to preach, and I said, Tito, ha crecido muchísimo tu iglesia en los últimos años. Tito, your church has grown so much in the last few years. He laughed. He said, this isn't the church. This is a Bible study. We're meeting in 35 places. He said, we grew from 200 to 7,000 in 6 months. How many like to see that happen right here in Oak Creek? How many believe God could do it again? Oh, yes. He said, we had to sleep with our clothes on. People tried to break into the church to come in to get delivered, to get healed, to get counseling. We were giving counseling 24 hours a day. We couldn't even sleep. We couldn't eat. We were being interrupted all the time. And God moved in our church. At the same time in Belgrano, there was a young man named Claudio. He and his wife had worked in a little place that had been a tire warehouse. It was just a little place where they'd stored tires, dirt floor. And that was Claudio's church. He had 50 people. His wife had one black dress. For 5 years, she looked like a nun in the thing. And that's all they had was 50 people. But God spoke to him to do an open-air campaign like Carlos. He had been meeting with Carlos, teaching Carlos theology, because Carlos had never been to Bible school, and he needed teaching, so he met with Carlos, he taught him, and while he was teaching him, there rubbed off an anointing. See, when you meet with people, when you get into that cell group, when you get into that home group, there's something very powerful about that because you borrow the anointing off of Tanto. You borrow the anointing after Pastor Jerry. You borrow the anointing after Jim. You borrow the anointing after Larry. There's something special about being in those groups, friends. You've got to get in a group. It's so important. So he was meeting with Carlos, and the anointing rubbed off on Claudio. He started in a little park in Belgrano, which is furs here and De Beers diamonds there and Rolex watches here. It's a lovely area, but the little park where they started out with had been taken over by drug dealers, and people are afraid to go there at night, but not Claudio. He put up strings of lights, and Betty, who played a little tiny keyboard, it was about this long, would sit up on a little wooden platform that they built, put some strings out, and people started coming. In fact, they came, and they came, and they came. Psychologists who had women that would come in furs had recommended them to come down to the park because the psychologists couldn't offer them help anymore, but they had heard the remarkable testimonies of people that had gone down to hear Claudio Frazen preach. And Betty told us personally that it was so funny to sit on the platform when the Holy Ghost would come down over that crowd of thousands. Park in that park, the Holy Ghost would begin to come down and begin to work in people's lives. She said it was so funny to see these women in their fancy furs laying in the flower bed with their shoes flat up in the air. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost moves, something happens. Has to give. And Claudio called me 1 month later. He said, Mike, I need $2,000. I said, what for? He said, my church is growing. I didn't know anything was going on. He said, my church is growing. I need $2,000. I have to rent a bigger place. I said, a bigger place? Why? He said, we grew from 50 to 1,530 days. Friends, God could easily make this church grow 500 in a year. How many believe that? God can make this place grow 1,000 a year. How many believe that? Come on, how many believe that? Come on, raise your hands right now and ask God that there be an outpouring here in Oak Creek. Raise your hands. Come on, call. Lord, we call out for hundreds of new people in Oak Creek this year. Oh, Jesus, do it. Send it. Shake this city up in Jesus' name. Psalm 22:22. I will praise you to all my brothers. I'll stand up before the congregation and testify of the wonderful things you have done. Many of you have never heard that there was a massive revival in Cuba in the early 1990s, 92, 93, 94. Many of you never knew this. And yet, I've been to Cuba so many times, I've lost count. There is a friend of mine, Pastor Alberto Rojas, who is in a little town, who's near in the center of the country, and his people wanted to pray. So they prayed 8 to 12, 8 to 12, 8 to 12. Then they prayed 8 to 1, 8 to 2, 8 to 3, then all night. And after they were praying for an extended time, the Holy Spirit began to move. God began to move. And neighbors came in. And then some people got healed. And miracles started happening. And he said, all of a sudden, revival broke loose, and crowds were waiting in the street to get into that church for 110 people. They had to have them in shifts. They had to have services in shifts. They ran for a month, and as they ran for a month, they started hearing of other outbreaks going on in other cities around them as the Holy Spirit fell on Cuba. Finally, after 30 days, he told us he was exhausted and couldn't go on, and he announced, tomorrow night, we're just going to take off. We're not going to have a service. Just stay at home with your family. Relax. We'll just take a night off. The next night, Monday night, he's in his little home where Mona and I have stayed overnight with them and had a wonderful time preaching in their church. And he said, the next night, I heard a knock at the door about 7:30. And he went to the door, and it was one of the deacons. he said, friend, there's no church tonight. We're not going to have a service tonight. He said, Pastor, I think you need to step out. You better step out of the house and take a look at this. He stepped out into the street. The church is about a block and a half down. He said, when I looked out, the street was filled with thousands of people that had come to hear the word of God. There was an outbreak in Cuba. Come on, come on. Lift it up to the Lord. Come on. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, Nazarenes, Assemblies of God, filled by the power of God. And then Orson Villa's church. I can tell it now because Orson is no longer in Cuba. He had to leave. But when he was living in Camagüey, he had a little church. And he held a Bible study in his home. I've been to his home many times. And it grew, outgrew the living room, outgrew the patio, outgrew the outside area, outgrew the street. He didn't know what to do. Pretty soon 1,000 were coming, 1,500, 2,000 were coming. He got up on the roof of his house. You've never heard about the revival in Cuba. He got up on the roof of his flat roof house, put up a keyboard, put up amplifiers, and began to preach open air against the law, breaking the rules. And people were saved, people were delivered, people were healed. And the communists came down and warned him, if you keep this up, we're going to arrest you. He said, well, I don't know what to say about that, but if you're here tomorrow morning, it's Sunday, and I'll be here to preach, come on down, you're all invited. Well, they came down all right, and after he was done with the service, with several thousand in the street, they arrested Orson Villa and threw him in jail. And when he was there, they took him out into the sugarcane fields where he had to work in the snake-infested sugarcane fields, dangerous place to work, and also cultivating vegetables there. And he said, if I'm going to be a prisoner, I'm going to be the best prisoner in the history of Cuba. And he began to teach the other prisoners how to sing the songs of praises and all the hymns and all the verses. And he won this man, and then he won that man, and then he won this man. And then pretty soon he won 200 men to Jesus. A revival broke out in prison. And as revival broke out in prison, people started getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and they called him into the office and said, "You keep this up, we're going to have to kick you out." And what do you know, he kept it up and they kicked him out of prison. He went back to his church. Holds 335 people. Thousands came and were saved in Camagüey, Cuba, to the glory of God. Come on, lift up your hands. And then there was a wave of resources that started to come into our hands. I was in the middle of the country. I can't tell you the name of the city. But the pastor met me and he said, "We've got this flat building. It was built before the revolution, 1952, the revolution of 59. There had not been a Bible school built there in all of those years." And he said, "I want to build the first Bible school in the history of the communist revolution. Will you help me?" I said, "You build a Bible school?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Daniel, si tú y yo construimos un instituto bíblico, tú y yo vamos a llegar a ser grandes amigos en la cárcel." Amen. ¿Cuándo dice gloria a Dios? Eso gringo no sabe lo que estoy diciendo. Aleluya. I said, "Daniel, if we build a Bible school, you and I are going to become great friends." He said, "Yeah." I said, "In jail." It's against the law to build a Bible school. You can't build a Bible school in Cuba. He said, "Then, don't worry. We'll build a center for theological studies." Same thing, you know, but all right. "Well, how much you need?" He said, $10,000. I didn't have $10,000. How do you get $10,000? That was the start. And I got worried. "Lord, if I give him $10,000, I get started." And they identify that I'm behind this. Next time I come to Cuba, I'm going to be in jail. And Lord, I was so worried about it. He said, "Don't worry. It's a Center for Theological Studies. It's not the same thing." All right, I didn't have $10,000. I went home and I realized I had $10,000 of Light for the Lost money that I wasn't supposed to use for Cuba, but I went and borrowed. Don't tell Greg Mundus. And I borrowed it, and 4 days later, I got $10,000 miraculously back, and we started building on that building. Oh, hallelujah. And I raised money in Panama, and I raised money in Colombia, and in Argentina, and Chile. I raised money in Uruguay. I raised money in Guatemala. I raised money in Mexico. I raised tens of thousands of dollars, and in that process, God had spoken to me because a young doctor. Now, get this. My wife and I, when we went that time, just before we started on the building project, she snuck a Hewlett-Packard 14-inch computer in her purse into Cuba. Now, this is possible because this morning her purse has a vanity in it. It's got some furniture. It's, you know. So she had room in her purse, and they didn't check her purse. So at the end of this seminar, we had to give that computer away to somebody. And I said, "Well, I'm thinking I want to give it to this guy." She said, no, not him. "There's a young man, he's 30 years old, he's a doctor. He gave up being a doctor to be a pastor, and he needs it desperately. He doesn't have a computer." Nobody had a computer, nobody. I said, "No, I want to give it to this other guy." No. And I want to tell you something. I have heard the voice of God many times audibly in my house. I shut off the light, I put my head on the pillow, and I have heard the voice of God, and it sounds just like my wife. How many have heard that voice before, huh? And my wife said to me, "No, I think we need to give it to Heriberto." And I felt like she rarely asked me to do that. We're going to do that. So I met Heriberto in a little room that was supposedly be the library. It had like 20 books, all beat up. Met him in there, hot, sweaty, with a little brown sack. And I handed that young man that computer bought for by offerings with people like you. When I handed it to him, he broke. He just wept. He wept. To get a computer for the ministry, write his messages, keep his records. And he had no idea of the fear I was in of what do I do if I launch a building that I know is against the law and we're going to be in trouble. Boy, is this couple from Turkey, Brandon and Laura. These kids know what it is to have a bag to just grab and run. These kids know what it is to have three routes to get out of the country at one time. They know what it is to live in fear that maybe tomorrow be the day that changes your life. I want you to give them a great big hand for what they're doing for the cause of Christ. Thank you. He did not know what I was going through inside, the internal struggle. And with tears streaming down his face, eyes wide open. He walked up and prophesied over me and put his hands on my shoulders and he said, será más fácil de lo que tú piensas. It's going to be easier than you think. Friends, challenges with church, it's going to get easier than you think. $1 million, it's going to be easier than you think. You think your family can't get saved and start attending church with you, it's going to be easier than you think. You think your sick body can't be healed, it's going to be easier than you think. You can't get another job, it's going to be easier than you think. You can't see your kids serve God, it's going to be easier than you think. It's going to be easier than you think. Come on, give God a hand today. And then I got a call from a pastor farther off, another city I can't tell you, and he said, I want to build a center for theological studies. Are you kidding me? I'm not doing that. I'm tired of doing this. It takes too much to raise the money and run all over Latin America. I didn't ask for any money in the United States, all Latin American money. No, I want you to come. So I went down there. He said, take pictures. I said, I don't want to do another project. He said, please, you must have friends. Please take pictures. Maybe somebody will want to do this. I said, no. I went back to Miami. He said, forget that. I'm not doing it. 4 days later, I get a call from an 88-year-old man that your pastor knows well, Dr. Tom Paino. 88 years old. He calls. He said, hey, I hear a rumor. I hear that you're building Bible schools in Cuba. I said, that is a lie. I am not building Bible schools. I'm building centers for theological studies. One, and that's it. He said, I want to build one. I said, no, I don't need any more money from this one. I don't have another project. And the Holy Spirit swung and says, oh, yes, you do. He said, don't you have anywhere else? I said, well, actually, I do. But I need $38,000 in the next 30 days or I can't build the building. I'll give you $38,000. He says, right over the phone. Wow. Holy Spirit, so I can keep going. You're on a roll. So I said, well, Tom, I don't have the time and I'm really kind of tired. And I don't know how to raise the money to put a building up. Get a property, I have to put up a building. Well, how much do you need for a building? I had no idea. I said, I need $135,000. So I'll give you $135,000. I went, wow, I need a new car too. No, I didn't say that. We started building. They designed a beautiful building. We bought that property in 1 month secretly. Don't want to tell you how I got it. We secretly bought that, and we started building. Started building. Building started coming up. We got to third floor, ran out of money. I had no money. I said, Jesus, who should I call? Who should I call, Jesus? Lead me to who I should call. He said, Jerry Brooks. I said, okay. I can count on Jerry. I've called Jerry before. Many people call this man. Many. So I called him. I said, Jerry, I've run out of money. I got to put it on the third floor before we're going to get a fine and we're going to get confiscated. I've got to get that floor. And you know how that goes. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're in big trouble. And he said, over the phone, he said, all right, I'll give you $25,000. We put on that third floor. Money started flowing. We finished a four-story Taj Mahal, beautiful center for theological studies in that big area. And now hundreds of students are there. And it's because Oak Creek changed the destiny in Cuba. Come on, lift it up. Come on, lift it up. Come on, a shout of victory. Thank you, Oak Creek. Is Pastor Dan playing? Hi. You don't need to play. Okay. Then I went to Havana. And in Havana, I took my 92-year-old father-in-law with me that you had supported even up to that time. And we went to the Christian Education Department, which had bought a building and redeveloped it. And next door is an ugly, ugly building. And God spoke to me through my father-in-law. He said, you should buy this building. I said, no, you should buy this building. Turn it into a center for theological studies. I said, not again. So I said to the Christian Ed National Director, how much would this be? He said, you have to pay each family $2,000. How many live here? 14 families. 14 families live in one building with one bathroom. It was horrible. $28,000, I bought that building with money that I raised throughout Latin America. We tore off the roof. We tore out the floor. We reinforced the walls. We started building. We got more help here, more help there. And then I ran out of money, and I ran out of money, and I started praying, Lord, who should I call? And the Lord spoke to me. I think it was the Lord. Call Jerry Brooks. And from the Havana Libre Hotel in downtown Havana, I picked up the phone by faith in that building, Jerry. It was the center of Castro's operational headquarters the day that the Cuban government fell and the communists came in. Sitting in that hotel, I called you, Pastor Jerry, and Pastor Jerry gave me the money over the phone to finish that building. Thank you, Oak Creek. Come on, give it up. Give it up. Thank you. And he came down to be with me for the dedication. And now we have bought one of the most famous auditoriums in all of Argentina because of Oak Creek. And we have helped a daughter church in Lomas because of Oak Creek. And you are doing amazing things that are changing destinies. I challenge you to stand with your pastor. I challenge you to stand with your leadership. And let's do something that changes the destiny of tens of thousands. Thank you, all you friends. And I'm going to make you the Mike Shields promise. Raise your hands real high. I promise you. Come on, raise them high. I promise you, no matter how much dough you give today, we will spend it. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Let me ask you to take out the card that you received when you came into the sanctuary today. It says Faith Promise on it. If you did not receive one, will you raise your hand? We want to make sure that you receive one as well. We have friends right down here in the front that have not received the cards on both sides. Let's make sure they quickly receive them, please, from across the room. Ushers, if we can serve all of these friends, there's a number of them that have not received the card. Balcony, there's some in the balcony as well. Balcony, please serve them with the card. This card is our response card to the voice of the Holy Spirit. This card is what allows us to know what missions dollars we're going to have available for the year as we close out the year 21 and going through next October of 22. It's because of your faithfulness. I want to say thank you. You have been a generous congregation. You've given so that we can make investments that many times have a very short window of opportunity. And once the window is gone, it's gone forever. And because of your faithfulness, we've been able to do some exciting things that are happening all over this world, all over the globe. And so this card is our response card. Here's what it says. With God's help, I commit to doing my part to reach the world for Christ by giving over and above my tithe and offerings. This is above our tithe and offering. For each of the next 12 months, Oak Creek Assembly of God can count on my monthly world impact investment of, and then you can mark the box or there's a line there for other. I want to pray that God will help our faith to rise to a new level. I think all of us in the room today, we understand that time is short. I mean, we're seeing things prophetically coming about, round about us, in a way and at a speed like we probably never thought possible. Time is short. And what we do or what we don't do is vitally important.